Welcome to episode 7 of Zig Neutron Sputron. This is a special episode because I'm going to start this series called Nemantode. Nemantode. So one night I had this idea of this weird character named Nemantode, and Z is just a, wow, yeah, Z is an enigma. Z's pronouns are Z-zer, Zim, Ziz, Zitz, because Nemantode is genderless, and Nemantode really has no preferred pronouns, because really any pronoun would be correct. He, she, her, it. Nemantode is an enigma. But basically, this character lives in all of our minds, and in that swimmy place just between sleep and wake. So I started this thing where I did a sketch of it, and then I put it up on the cigarette pack on Discord, and I put a sketch and I put one starting paragraph of the story. And now after that, everybody else adds their paragraph, and so on and so forth, until we make the most bonkers, weird, batshit story. The only rule is you have to wait at least until one person adds a paragraph after yours before you can add another one. So if that sounds fun to you, you should join the cigarette pack on Discord and add to the story. And I will be chronicling the story and doing the voices here on the podcast. So if you want to help us write a story and be a part of the fun, join the cigarette pack on Discord. I don't know if you can just search for the cigarette pack, but you can go to my Twitter. And you should be able to find it somewhere on my Twitter, an invite link at Signeutron on Twitter. So far, this has been really fun, and everyone's really enjoying it. I encourage everybody to jump in, even if you're not, if you don't consider yourself a writer or anything. Anybody can tell a story, and there's really no wrong places to take Nemantode. Like, there are no wrong answers, because literally anything is possible in Nemantode's world. Do you want, ninja nuns to pop up out of nowhere? Sure, throw in ninja nuns. Like, let's keep it spicy. Let's keep it weird. And boy, is it weird. It plays out like some really bizarre dream we've all had, which I think is pretty great, because, Nemantode is essentially everyone and no one at all. Because it's exciting, too, because nobody knows what's going to happen next. I find myself, constantly checking the Nemantode story to see what's happened since I last left it. Also, I am currently sculpting a Nemantode resin kit, which I'm going to sell unpainted, because I believe that everybody has to paint their own Nemantode, because Nemantode is someone different to everyone. So why would I paint your Nemantode for you? There's also a Nemantode fan art channel, to where if any of these scenes that inspire you, you can post the artwork there. And I don't know, I want this to turn into a really big, amazing, weird, creative writing story thing. How awesome would it be if we could develop this into a TV show or something where we all write it together? That's my dream. But if we get enough clout behind this, then that could become a reality, and we'd all get to tell a really awesome story that is shared with everybody. But for now, this is how I'm sharing it. So let's get to it. This is I'm Sig Neutron, and this is Sig Neutron Sputron episode 7, Nemantode.
Episode 1, written by Sig Neutron, Compass SFX, Icebox Corpse 5, and Gillimax 5.
People always ask me, where do you find Nemantode? Well, Nemantode lives in that swimmy place. Just between sleep and wake. Nemantode lives in all of our minds. So you could say that everyone is Nemantode. But really no one's Nemantode. Nemantode is an enigma. Or a conundrum. I don't know if I know the meaning of either of those words, so maybe he's neither. Or maybe he's all of them. Nemantode lives in that swimmy place just between sleep and wake. When you start seeing colors
and things don't really make sense, but you're still kind of awake. That's where you'll find Neiman Coach, the Psychonaut, traveling through all of our minds and all of our dreams. Neiman Toad.
A rotting mass of flesh crashes through a day-glow forest. Hunks of rotting meat fall from its scaffold-like bones as it swats the neon trees from its path like flies. A necro-giant, they call him. Its head slung back, its mouth agape, framing a dry, shriveled tongue sticking straight out, almost as if pointing the way. An odd creature can be seen on top of the tongue. Standing no more than 4 feet tall, Z stands vigilant, their mutton chops blowing in the breeze. The 80s neon splatter paint sky reflects off of their anaglyphic 3D goggles. Z holds a very dirty martini in one hand. An eyeball sloshes around in the dark green liquid. To the unknowing eye, it would seem as just that, an eyeball. However, that's Limbus Macula, Nematode's faithful companion. Nematode is splattered in a bright violet goo, the source of which seems to have come from his other hand, holding an equally gooed up Bowie knife. Dripping mystery goo all over the necrogiant's tongue, each drop sizzles and melts a little of the flesh as they barrel towards a beautifully bizarre sunset.
Come now, Limbus, for the night is still young and my knife is still sharp,
Z exclaimed with the warm summer breeze drifting across her face. Neiman Toad lights another cigarette, staring off into the distance, plotting their next move.
I require the fermented liquid of the bosom berry,
Z tells the necrogiant.
Bring us to the closest sleazy establishment, one where the beverages flow like the blood of the nickel hoppers we just slain.
The necrogiant perks its head up and begins a slight saunter down the way, panting like a tired dog. They journey for a good hour or so before coming upon a run-down building that smells of vomit, stale smoke, and regret. When approaching the door, a figure appears from within.
Welcome, welcome, welcome! Please do come in,
the figure said. As they get closer, they saw she was a frail-looking thing. Hair an off-white, only discolored by the smoke from the bar. Skinny as a branch of a plum-bottom tree.
We've got drinks, we've got food, and we've even got the best brothel for miles!
She proudly tells them. Nematode slides their 3D goggles down, stares at Limbus, then at the necrogiant, then at the frail old woman.
Let's do this,
Z says. Neiman Toad walks in, leaving a slimy, sluggish trail of the same bright violet goo. The funky beeline shifting slightly side to side as Z and her companions kick step forward to the Bee Gees' famous "Stayin' Alive," which is loudly playing through the entire, well, a very deep, intricate hole in a meteor, decorated with velvet curtains and psychedelic lights. The gribble grabble go-go dancers sliding up and down on their poles. They boogie straight to a booth and sit down. A scantily clad server comes up, cigarette hanging from her mouth.
My name's Miranda. What you having?
She says with a cloud of smoke rolling over her bodacious purple lips.
Bring us a round of your finest fermented bosom berry, Miranda, and some fried sickle suckers,
Neiman Toad says with a wink. Miranda takes the order and heads to the back. Meanwhile, Neiman Toad scouts the place, looking for any potential scores. And then, through the door, through a cloud of smoke and cocaine dust, comes in like the most beautiful creatures he had ever seen. Legs as long as pigeon pipers, hair black as the inside of a necrogiant's nostrils, eyes as bloodshot as Xur's, and as if a magnetic field was around them, Neiman Toad made his way over to greet this fine being. Neiman Toad, standing only up to the knees of this divine creature.
Well, shake it, bacon.
Creature opens his mouth as if to speak, but shoots yellow sputum filled with bones and unknown unpleasantries all over Neiman Toad. And a smoky feminine voice. That's Lady Bacon to you. But she puts her cigarette out on Neiman Toad's helmet. She saunters past him and to the bar. Neiman Toad jiggles in ecstasy, melting into a puddle as he oozes off to follow her, leaving a trail of watery Neiman Toad that is slowly mixing with Lady Bacon's vomit. Strange manimals in gimp masks slither up to slurp up their mess from the floor. Music fills the room as they saunter past the tables filled with sleaze balls and dirt bags, all either drinking or passed out in their own vomit. They come to a corner booth that is vacant. Lady Bacon slides in. Neiman Toad, in awe of every movement she makes, stands there in a gooey mess. Lady B lights another cigarette and stares at Neiman Toad blankly and says, "Are you gonna sit with me or just stand there like a pile of last night's throw up?" Neiman Toad quickly jumps up to reach the bench and sit next to his newfound crush.
"So what's bringing you to a place like this?"
Lady B, without skipping a beat, says,
"I like to drink and get freaky."
Neiman Toad's jaw almost shatters as it hits the table. Meanwhile, the Necrogiant sits crammed in a corner of the bar, tipping his toe to the music, attempting to sing along as he throws back barrels of booze. Neiman Toad's long, lascivious tongue unfolds under the table and slowly starts to coil back into his mouth like a sinful slug. A resounding crash flies in over the music as everyone's attention whips to the entrance.
"Fuck me sideways, the usurpers are here!"
Someone shouts as the bodies draped in brown and gold flood the entrance. All of them wearing different style of party hats, the cone kind with pom-poms on top. They have no features, almost like bodies wearing white Zentai suits, wearing cloaks of brown and gold, with pauldrons of silver. Golden rapiers rest at each of their sides. The biggest and most important looking one has X's where his eyes should be. "Bring me that shitstorm of a toad." As it speaks, the words are not audible. The words literally float out of the mouth into a speech bubble. The bar is eerily quiet. As everyone slowly reads the words, as the words fill the bubble, "Kill the rest," fills it to capacity. Everyone gasps as the speech bubble bursts with a sonic boom. As if on cue, the other usurpers snap into action as all hell breaks blah, fucking shit. As all hell breaks loose inside the bar, everyone is fleeing as if the club just got raided. Neiman Toad quickly grabs Lady B and commands her to jump onto his back. Lady B starts to protest, but Neiman Toad yanks Lady B's ankles, since Z can't grab much higher than that, and flips her onto his back. Before Lady B can react, they slop and slide through the room upon the Neiman Toad's gooey mess past the first usurper, and then through the legs of another. By the time they burst through the saloon doors and out into the steamy night air, Lady B is frantically screaming, "Whoa!" Lady B rasps, "How did you do that?" She turns around, but Neiman Toad is nowhere to be found. All that remains is a gooey, fizzing brown and gold cloak, a steaming party hat, a crinkled pair of 3D glasses, and a rapier that is bent into the shape of a rhombus. It was at this moment that the Necrogiant jumped into action, swinging his arms at every usurper in sight. The ones he makes direct contact with explode into a fine mist of vibrant colors and cover everything in sight. The others get thrown through walls and windows. He then pulls out a straw and flask from his satchel, rushes over to where Neiman Toad's 3D glasses are, and starts to suck up the gooey remains and spit them into the flask. He puts the flask and glasses into his satchel, picks up Lady B, and makes a dash for the forest, the ground trembling with each step as he makes his way to the trees. Lady B glances back to see the carnage, the bar in flames, people screaming, but it slowly faded away. Soon it was nothing but the trees and the sound of the Necrogiant's footsteps. She didn't know where they were going, but she knew they needed to get there fast. Neiman Toad's life depended on it. Lady B is soon lulled to sleep by the rhythmic plodding of the Necrogiant's footsteps. Their journey through the woods continues. As Lady B dreams of intimidating hooded figures in party hats, she feels the weight of their disapproving glances as they continue on their journey. One of them, wearing 3D glasses and smoking a pipe, reaches for her, but she shrinks back until she feels cold, wet, sinewy fingers wrap around her throat. Lady B awakes from her dream with a start, realizing they've stopped walking. She feels something wet and cold around her neck, and starts to claw at it herself until she realizes she's lying under a giant orange willow tree whose branches brush across her face and neck in the breeze. It's daytime. She looks around and realizes they've stopped next to a babbling brook of iridescent purple goo, which quickly reminds her of Nemantode. And she begins to collect herself and search for the necrogiant. Back at the sleazy overrun bar, the usurpers ran amok, breaking chairs over each other's heads and punching each other in the nuts to celebrate their newly claimed victory. Little did they know, the madam who owns and runs this miasma pit of a brothel was in her secret hidey hole with an entire squad of lethal escorts, tossing flamethrowers, bayonets, pistols, switchblades, and pH-balanced lube down the line. The lights cut out along with the funky music. A single spotlight flicks on. Standing there is the old woman, now in war paint and a mesh bikini, displaying her three sets of breasts. She begins a tantalizing dance, hypnotizing the drunken usurpers. She sways her hips and runs her hands down her pelvis, quickly pulling her trusty switchblade from her leather panties. She licks it once and throws it straight into the skull of the enemy general. She bows and her escorts race forth, violently slaughtering the hooligans and robbing them of all their money, loot, treasure, gold teeth, and their ship. She was about her money. They systematically lit fires at all the exits in three corners of the room, shepherding her enemies together in a confined space.
Execute them all.
Shit, man, what the fuck?
Confident her escorts will follow her orders, she turns and begins to step towards the bar. Before her 10-inch platform heels touch the ground, she sees an odd little pancake of cracked bones and goop, but some of it was missing. Could it be? And if it was, where was the rest of Xur? She scraped the pieces up off the floor, collecting them.
Meanwhile...
Deep in the forest, Lady B had spotted the footprints of the necrogiant and began to follow them. They led her alongside the purple brook for a good 30-minute walk, then suddenly disappeared.
It must have crossed the brook here, she said to herself.
So she begins to cross the bubbling brook until she hears the faint singing of a woman drawing near. She looks towards the sound and sees the owner of the brothel rowing down the brook towards her. As the madam approaches, she calls to Lady B.
Hop in! All hope is not lost! Z can still be saved!
Baffled by the woman's words, she quickly jumps into the boat and down the brook the row.
How can Z be saved? Lady B inquired.
There are many questions to which the answers can only be shown to us, not told, the madam explained.
And just then, from around the bend, Lady B caught a glimpse of the necrogiant. He was standing next to a small shack-like structure that was built into the middle of a giant tree. The tree was so large it made the necrogiant look like a baby fuzzlepent. They arrived at the house to see the necrogiant with the flask and the 3D glasses in hand. The madam then gave to him the cracked bones and goop and began to chant very softly. Lady B watches in amazement as the necrogiant lays all the remains of Nemantode at the base of the tree, and within a matter of moments the tree started to move. And from within its mighty branches a figure appeared, as if being lowered from the vines itself. It was a body, being cradled as if it were a child. When the body reached the necrogiant's feet, Lady B couldn't believe what she was seeing. It was a human male, thought to be extinct, but right in front of her. But something was odd about him. He was missing an eye.
That's odd, she said to herself.
But then it all made sense. The necrogiant reached into his satchel and pulled out Limbus Macula. The man then took the eyeball and placed it into his empty eye socket.
Oh, that was a bad idea.
Everyone's shocked to see Nemantode emerge from the shack.
What everyone looking so sad for? Thanks for feeding Limby.
As he says that, the human male jolts, his eyes snap open wide in horror and awe. His forehead starts to split as the skin resembles fleshy labia lids. A third eye can be seen in the split left in his forehead. His body starts to jolt as a beam of rainbow light shoots violently out of his newly opened third eye. His flesh starts to wiggle and writhe as it shrivels down to getting taut around his bones. It's as if his very essence is shooting out of his forehead. The rainbow beam putters to a stop as the dusty skin can no longer hold his head to his body as it rolls back and bounces towards Nemantode. With a swift kick to the skull, it shatters in a glimmer poof as it dislodges Nimbus, sending him flying up into the air and landing gracefully into the fresh, very, very dirty martini in Nemantoad's right hand.
Yeah, he ain't much for being in that brain pan and all, you dig? He, much happier getting pickled in this here lucid juice. Mm-hmm.
Z says, and Z takes a sip. Everyone's mouth is agape.
I still don't know why y'all looking like y'all done seen a gooby or something.
Z scoops up all the remains brought by Madam and Necrogiant into a soggy rolling paper. Rolling it up, Z snaps it halfway in half. Z puts the broken cigarette in her mouth, snaps her fingers, and her thumb ignites into purple flame, which Z uses to light her cigarette, then whips her hand to extinguish the flame. Z kicks the air, and with a loud thud, a 1959 Cadillac hearse fades into view as if it had been there the whole time, just invisible.
Well, I got to kick it, Mama Tria. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Z bows to the giant tree, climbs into the driver's seat of the hearse.
Y'all might want to hoof it. That rainbow bridge for sure alert the serps. Lady Bacon, maybe next time I get some sizzling or that bizzling, but you know, you keep a Kentucky fry with a snap, crackle, pop until then,
On that note, Z takes a deep swig of Zer Martini, punches the gas, and peels off into the sunrise, plowing straight into the husk of the human, which explodes into ash. The hearse is nowhere to be seen, as if it just flew away in the stale breeze with the ashes. They all stare blankly as the formerly human plume dances gracefully with the wind.